Movies.com.
In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
It is time for us to talk movies and more as Alan Adams graces our studios as he does each and every Monday for Pass the Popcorn. Hello there, Alan.
Well, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Did you have a nice weekend?
You know, I did. Pretty low-key, but it was good.
So hang around the house? Did you travel?
We did a little bit of both.
Nice.
On Saturday, we actually went to the Snow Pond on Tap Brew Fest.
Oh, nice. How was that?
The Snow Pond Center for the Arts. It was super fun. Yeah, like it wasn't. There were probably probably 15 or so different outfits, mostly breweries, but a couple of cider places, a couple of spirits places, just sort of hung out there. There was a Beatles cover band. We went, we did laps, did samples, and had a lovely. It was a lovely day for it, it was really nice.
Nice.
And then on Sunday, I cleaned out my shed.
Oh, that sounds like work.
Yeah, it's not a euphemism. I actually did clean out my shed. It's overdue for some maintenance. It's going to need to be like sort of like elevated with a new floor put in and all that stuff. And as it turns out, you can't do any of that unless all the stuff is out of it.
Right, right.
And so I spent a few hours digging through into stuff that we bought with the house. Like it was stuff that's been there since we moved in. And it's like, I'm guessing we could probably throw this away. we've been here for like over a decade and hasn't even crossed our minds to use this stuff. So we've kind of got it hauled out. We're trying to figure out, separating the wheat from the chaff, as they say, and then we'll be ready to go for that.
Nice.
So yeah, that was our sort of our 1-2 punch for the weekend.
Wow, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it was all right.
My 1-2 punch was football Saturday and then mowing my lawn Sunday.
Nice.
For what I think will be, I'm going to say the next to last time.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I think I just did a recent mow on ours and it doesn't grow super fast.
No.
So I think probably one more.
My next one is mulching leaves.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping anyway.
Yeah.
But hey, we got great weather again this week. So I'm loving this. Keep this going.
Yeah, right. All I will say is I hope this does not come at the expense of my favorite time of year, which is that sort of low to mid 60s.
Oh yes.
Shorts and long sleeves weather, because we don't get very much of that.
No.
And we're entering into the sort of prime time for it. So
might get a little of that this weekend.
I'm hoping so. Yeah. I'm hoping so.
And I'm already thinking, of course, in our house about Halloween. Will the Adams be serving full-size candy bars again this year?
The shipments have already started
arriving. Nice, nice.
Yeah, no, we, at this point, like, they're, like, I don't think there's any going back at this point. Like, I think there would be a riot. There are certain expectations that that have been established. And, far be it from me to want to, to disappoint the young people.
Want some kid be like, this is fun size.
Yeah.
What has happened to you?
You used to be cool.
Yes. Well, Graham has been telling us that he thinks we should go the full size route.
I bet he has.
Yeah. Oddly enough, with the ones that he seems to like.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a purity of spirit and benevolence there, for sure.
No question about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Hey, want to mention it. It's not this week, but coming up week after next, what is always a fun focus group show. And speaking of next to lasts, it's our next to last show at the Bangor Arts Exchange.
Yeah, no, not this coming Friday, but next. So September 27th, we will be doing our annual The Focus Group Goes to the Dogs fundraiser for the Bangor Humane Society ahead of their annual Paws on Parade event. It's always a good time. Our proceeds will be going into the pockets of the Bangor Humane Society to support a cause that is near and dear to all of our hearts. So that's very exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a good crew on stage and a full house off. So, come on out. I think it's going to be a good time. 8 o'clock, Bangor Arts Exchange. Tickets are $10. But if you wanted to throw a couple bucks in the jar as well, you'd be more than welcome to.
I can't remember the name of the... the cutie they posted the other day, who was a Basset Beagle mix, but I said to Abby, let's get him.
Oh, yeah. I believe, and again, I shouldn't gender, but I believe that it was Valkyrie. And I believe
I believe
Valkyrie is a she, but I can't say for certain. But yes, a very sweet faced little pup.
And every time she comes in the house, bum ba da da bum ba da da.
Yeah, well, and keep your eyes out because there'll be another one tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yep,
good stuff there. Well, let's talk movies, Alan. Have you seen any good ones?
You know, I've seen some.
Okay, all right. That's the first question. Yes.
One at the theater, one at home. I went to see the latest Dave Bautista joint at the box office, a movie called The Killer's Game. And then at home on Netflix, the streaming offering Uglies, a sort of dystopian, you know, YA sort of deal. Which one would you like to talk about first?
Well, I have not heard anything about Uglies, so let's go there.
So Uglies, it's based on a series of books actually significantly older than a lot of the other ones that sort of inspired the YA adaptation boom of the early mid aughts. I believe the first book came out in like 1997, I want to say. But here's the thing. You have seen this movie.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you haven't, but you have.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, and again, and I place the blame fully on the powers that be in Hollywood for that stretch of like 5 or 6 years where we got like 17 of these like dystopian YA novels adapted into movies. The market was oversaturated, and what you get is a series of sort of now incredibly familiar and almost passé tropes that we've kind of come to expect from this sort of movie. And despite the fact that, Uglies, the books were written before any of these other ones, we're only just now getting the film adaptation. And so, what does that mean? That means that everything is familiar. Everything is familiar when you're watching this movie. Yes, you have, it's a future post-apocalyptic dystopian society. And, so here's our deal. We've got, a young girl named Tally, who is referred to by Squint, played by Joey King, living in, the borders are ill-defined, but the basic gist is something bad happened because people are terrible and resources were used up and disasters struck. And, it turns out the only solution was, if we make everybody attractive, that'll fix it. Again, it's pretty simplistic like that. But basically what happened was scientists basically genetically modified flowers, orchids, and they became a power source. Again, never explained. In case you were wondering about
thinking about trying that at home, I guess not.
So it's the magic energy flowers, and then an incredibly elaborate yet also extremely fast surgical procedure that makes everybody pretty. And so, that way, if everyone's perfect, there's no conflict and that will prevent the chaos. And so the surgery is performed on when you turn 16. And before you're 16, you live in these weird, sort of almost... It's a cross between a dorm and a prison, and you are called, referred to collectively as Uglies. your uglies. Your real names aren't used. They basically give you a nickname based on whatever imperfect physical feature. So our hero Tally is known as Squint because apparently she squints. And her best friend, Paris, is called Nose.
Oh.
Yeah, it's rough.
Wow.
It's rough. But, you know, so that's when we meet them, and they live in this world, and they're everyone's so excited that they're going to get the procedure, and they're going to be pretty. But as it turns out, Paris is 3 months older, so he gets the procedure first. And heads off, he's like, oh, I promise, like, well, I'll be in touch. We'll keep talking, and when you come, we'll reunite and all that stuff. He goes, does the thing, and is just gone. Like, doesn't, you know, completely ghosts her. She eventually tries to make her way to find him. She does. He's like, well, this is weird. You should go back. This isn't okay. Et cetera, et cetera. You know, he's pretty now. So, like, he can't be bothered to hang with the uglies. But as yeah, it
hang
turns,
around no squint.
Oh my
certainly
god!
Certainly not nose.
So so we meet the enigmatic Dr. Cable, who is the played by Laverne Cox, who is frankly too good to be in this movie. But what are you going to do? Who is the sort of mastermind behind the procedure? And she, due to circumstances, I'm not going to go into the details, but suffice to say, our girl Squint becomes embroiled in a search for, you know, the rebels, because there's always rebels, Rich.
Sure. Oh, of course.
They live in a place that is called the Smoke for reasons that, again, I don't understand and are never explained, where she goes out. And that's where people are living life their own way. They're not being, you know, their existence isn't being dictated by the powers that be. No, they're living off the land and in huts and growing their own food and, you know, having asymmetrical faces, yet everyone's extremely, they're still very attractive. Like, don't get me wrong. This society's definition of ugly is perhaps a little different than the ones that our world would have. And then, you know, the conflicts arise, the unstoppable force, immovable object. They bump heads, and you know, we it's our girl, Tally, Squint, whatever we want to call her, is in the middle of it all. And there's some fussing and a feuding that takes place. Look, it's so funny how familiar all these pieces are. It's like, oh, you've got your stupid love triangle. Focused around a girl who, you know, it's a girl who isn't special, but is special. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And who's, you know, who is initially completely bought into the society surrounding her until she's given a peek behind the curtain and she realizes, oh no. And you know, there's, you know, arbitrary selection for who's good and who's bad. And, you know, you've got the powers of the monolithic government that have used technology to build up these massive cities, and then you've got the people out in the wilderness who are living, you know, a more honest and truthful life, and, you know, the conflicts between urban and rural sound familiar. But anyway, and it's just more and more of that. Like, every piece of this movie you have seen in at least one other movie, whether it's your Hunger Games, your Divergent, your Maze Runner. Like, it's a bummer because, you know, this guy, Scott Westerfield was the name of the fellow who wrote the books. But, you know, he was there before all of these other ones. You know, their movies got made. So, you know, no one gives a crap about the four books in the Ugly series. And as you would, I'm sure you'll be surprised to hear this. Room was left at the end for there to potentially be another movie.
Oh, Uglies 2. Can't wait.
Uglier? I don't know. Yeah, it's a very dull movie. Like, it wasn't even bad enough to be fun. Like, it was just sort of like pretty mediocre effects, and the storyline wasn't anything to speak of. The performances weren't anything to speak of. And yeah, everyone just seemed to be hitting their marks, saying their lines, and cashing their checks. And again, like, nice work if you can get it, but I cannot in good conscience recommend anyone watching this movie.
At least you were in the comfort of your home.
Indeed I was. I did not have to go elsewhere to watch this movie. And so thank heavens for small blessings.
All right, that's the lowdown on Uglies. Tell us about the Killers game.
You know, this one was one where we've talked about this a little bit. I tend to ride pretty hard for Dave Bautista as a performer. What we have here is another movie that will ring fairly familiar. It's sort of an action. It's billed as an action comedy. It's perhaps not quite as comedic as they'd like you to think. There are some laughs, it's directed by J.J. Perry, based on a book that I'd never heard of by a guy named Jay Bunasinghe. And it's got Dave Bautista, but it's got a decent cast, like Terry Crews, Scott Adkins, Pom Clemente, Ben Kingsley is in this movie. Basically, you've got Dave Bautista as your star. He plays this sort of super assassin named Joe Flood, and Joe Flood's the best there is. Like there's no one out there who can do what he does. And he's got his handler. I forget the character's name because it was just Ben Kingsley. Like, I'm just like, as far as I'm concerned, Ben Kingsley actually does handle the affairs of assassins.
He may.
You know, I mean, would you be surprised? Nope. I wouldn't be surprised.
Nope.
So he's out there doing his thing, killing people for money. But as often is the case in these sorts of movies, he's got a code. And he only kills bad people. Granted, he still gets paid for it, but like he's the people he kills, they're not good people.
No.
They're bad people. No,
they had it coming.
You know, no women, no children, no collateral damage. It's all very moral within, you know, the larger amorality of, you know, killing people for money. And he's doing his thing. He's thinking about getting out of the game. He's been at it for a while. He's got these headaches and he gets tunnel vision sometimes. He's like, you know, I've gotten by, but I worry that this is going to happen when I'm in the middle of something. And then what happens? So I'm going to get out of the game. Talks to Ben Kingsley. Ben Kingsley's like, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's get you liquid. Let's get you out of the game. In the course of this, he also meets a French ballet dancer, like you do. In the course of, one of his jobs, he winds up sort of saving her. I mean, she falls down and twists her ankle, and he picks her up and carries her out of the thing. So, I mean, I suppose technically that's saving.
Sure.
He's like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'm in love. And he starts, they're having their sort of meet cute, and we watch their relationship sort of blossom. But the headaches keep getting worse. And so he goes to the doctor, and the doctor's like, oh, turns out you've got Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
I'm sorry?
Creutzfeldt-Jakob.
Oh.
It's, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's actually mad cow, but it's mad cow adjacent. One of those, one of those weird prion diseases that messes up your brain. The guy's like, yep, no cure. You got like 3 months. So my dude's like, Joe Flood's like, well, I got to look after my ballet dancer. he arranges for life insurance. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to put a hit out on myself. Because life insurance doesn't pay off for suicide. He doesn't want to go through the degenerative, the physical and mental degeneration that comes with the disease. So he's like, I know all these people. I'll just put a hit out on myself and they'll take care of it. And then, you know, the ballet dancer can collect and everything's A-okay. Goes to Ben Kingsley. Ben Kingsley's like, I'm not going to do that. You're my friend. Like, that's not cool at all. And then he goes to another less reputable, assassin handler.
Sure.
Because, you know, there's obviously more than one.
I hope so.
She has no qualms because apparently Joe, back in the day, killed her dad.
Wow.
He's not sorry about it. He's like, your dad kind of sucked. So, I did what I did. So she's like, yep, I will do this. He puts a price of $2 million on his own head. And the call goes out, and that's when the cavalcade of weird themed assassins starts rolling in. There's a pair of like Hungarians who like kill people with motorcycles somehow, and then there's these two Scottish brothers, and then there's a pair of like American strippers, and all these people, you know, they're all assassins, but you know, you gotta have themes,
right,
apparently,
right.
Unless you're Joe Flood. Joe Flood doesn't have a theme.
Doesn't need one.
No, he doesn't.
It's Joe Flood.
He's Joe Flood. So he puts the hit out, the call goes out, and so he sort of settles in. He's getting ready. Like, he goes back to his apartment, leaves the door unlocked, turns off all the security measures, pours himself a scotch, and he's like, all right, here we go. And then the phone rings, and it's the doctor.
Oh, no.
And the doctor's like, don't know how to tell you this. Lab mixed up your results. You don't have Creutzfeldt Jakob at all. That's not what you have.
He's got a bad headache.
Yeah, I know. You're clean.
Yeah, but your head's getting worse now, though.
And so, yes. And so, of course, he now is like, oh, well, crap. I don't want to die now. And so we immediately get to see him fight against, again, the aforementioned Hungarians on motorcycles and the strippers and the Scottish brothers. And, the gang of Koreans who I think are supposed to be some sort of like boy band. It's unclear. and then we basically spend like 40 minutes watching him methodically just sort of absolutely destroy all of these various weirdly themed assassins.
Wow.
But he does face one guy who is almost as he's not Joe Flood, because no. Nobody is. But we do have Love Doll, who is Terry Crews.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Terry Crews shows up, and he's like, initially he's like, he doesn't want any part of it, because you know he knows Joe. Joe's got a good rep. He doesn't want to. But you know, the price keeps going up, and then eventually he's like, well, I guess I gotta, because I mean that's a lot of money. And bullets and knives and explosions and all the things, while he does his best to not only save himself, but save his beloved, who also gets wrapped up in this, as is often the case with these sorts of situations. Again, very familiar. It was a lot more fun than the other one. Like I had a really good time watching this movie.
Well, and they're better looking.
Yes, they're all very attractive. No uglies here.
No.
No uggos here. But it was just, again, and it boils down to the fact that you have someone like Dave Bautista, who is, you know, who's capable in terms of like comedic performance, you know, and has the physicality to sort of pull all this stuff off, you know, and he's surrounded with some really good performers. Terry Crews is always great. Ben Kingsley, of course, you see Ben Kingsley's name on a movie like this, it's like, oh, he's in like two scenes, and then he's a significant part of this movie. Pom Klementieff is very good. It's just everybody's having fun, and it is a movie that clearly does not take itself very seriously, and there are some it gets very over the top in ways that I was initially concerned about, simply because like Sheridan's not a huge fan of like the real like bloody gory stuff. And it's like, you know, you start watching this and it's like, oh, there's a lot. And then it's like, oh, wait, no, there's a lot. Like, it's like, it's cartoonish. Once that sort of line gets crossed, it's a lot easier, to engage with. So you can, you laugh at things that are frankly, like on their face, pretty horrifying, but context, et cetera. So yeah, like The Killer's Game, is it great cinema? No. Is it going to sink like a stone at the box office? Probably. but I had a good time.
Yeah, that's all you can ask.
Exactly.
Right? Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Alan Adams talking movies past the popcorn every Monday afternoon here on the program. We'll take a break. Still to come, a look at the good, the bad, and the ugly, the calendar, the birthday list, and the grapevine next on Downtown.
From the sweet aroma of birthday cake to the warmth of shared memories, Penobscot Theater Company invites you on an unforgettable